It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, May 25th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. As we've been reporting, surveillance in the United States is at a pivotal moment. Current surveillance policy that's part of the Patriot Act called Section 215 is set to expire next Monday, and Congress is on recess. This means the current way the NSA and other agencies collect bulk phone data could be stopped completely. There's also been a federal court ruling against the current policy. It's all a little wonky, but it's an important story that we're following today with the help of NYU's Jason Schultz. He's the director of NYU's Technology, Law, and Policy Clinic. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm going all right. Tell me what it means that the NSA is apparently starting to shut down bulk data collection.
Well, what it means is that if we go back 2 years to the very first document that Edward Snowden released, we see that that document was a court order authorizing the NSA to collect bulk data from people's telephone records. And it looks like most of America, most of Congress agrees that that program is not a good thing.
And do you have any sense of like what legally happens now? Do they just flip a switch? How does it work?
The answer is we won't actually know because a lot of this is done in secret. But what we can tell so far is that the White House is supportive of the USA Freedom Act approach, which is to kind of rein in the NSA's programs and make them much more targeted, where there will be information that will be collected about individuals from all kinds of places, telephone records, emails, etc., but it will be about particular people and about a particular event or particular threat, not a mass bulk collection where then they'll get to go back through later looking for the needle that they believe might be in a haystack.
This federal appeals court ruling in New York, how does it play into all of this?
Well, for a long time, people thought that the Patriot Act authorized the NSA to do this, to collect all of our records and then keep them and go through them later. The decision that the Second Circuit came to was, no, actually, the Patriot Act and no act of Congress really ever authorized this to happen. And so the NSA really was acting outside of the authority Congress had given it.
According to this court. And now the court has kind of put the ball back in Congress's court, so to speak, to make a decision one way or the other.
Yeah, although what's interesting is that there are some documents that have come out that have been declassified and also some documents from the Snowden trove as well that suggest that the NSA started the program without any authorization from Congress. So Congress then gave it some cover. Congress is now likely to pull back that cover. And so what we need to understand is, how is the NSA going to respond? Is it going to follow what Congress says and what the White House says? Or is it going to continue to try and act kind of independently? And how do we feel about that?
What's next in the play-by-play here, legally speaking or congressionally speaking?
Well, from what we understand, I think that the NSA will wind down the program until Congress has resolved its discussion. But I think there's a good chance that Congress will be debating this for a little while longer, especially once Section 215 expires and they don't have that pressure on them.
Jason Schultz is director of NYU's Tech, Law, and Policy Clinic. Jason, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Are you grilling today, frying, or smoking? If you're smoking and in the midst of brining a bird or pouring some secret sauce over meat or corn, you should know there's been some innovation in the smoking section. What do you get when you put Harvard engineering students 200 pounds of brisket and high-end home goods company Williams-Sonoma together? New England Public Radio's Susan Kaplan.
It wasn't hard to find the class. The mosquito
story.
Aroma led me right to teaching assistant Peyton Neesmith. The Alabama native is tending a 300-pound black hourglass-shaped ceramic smoker. The contraption is covered with wires, gadgets, and gizmos.
This brisket has been cooking since 3 a.m. We probably have a few hours left on it. This is our typical routine, our cadence of our battle rhythm, as our advisor would say.
That advisor is Professor Kevin Kitt Parker. He's not just an academic. He's a towering Army Lieutenant Colonel in the Reserves, and he has a Southerner's passion for barbecue.
Now, I was walking around the parking lot of the Memphis Liberty Bowl, looking at all these contraptions that people were smoking barbecue in, and I'm thinking, none of these things looks the same. And that means we haven't reduced our knowledge of barbecue down to a fundamental set of laws about how to do barbecue right.
Parker vetted his ideas with culinary experts.
I talked to some classically trained chefs. They said, hey, no one's done this. No one's ever taken a scientific approach to barbecue, to smoking.
Parker teaches bioengineering and applied physics at Harvard, so he decided to give his students a real-world assignment. First, he introduced them to a client, the high-end consumer retailer William Sonoma. The job, come up with the perfect smoker. After five long, snowy months, the data is in.
How they examined the problem and how they went through the whole engineering design algorithm.
It's game day.
Oh, and the samples.
We only take honest opinions.
It's really good.
Yeah. Thank you.
And we eat with our hands.
The students worked up to the last minute to showcase the final product. A parade of guests check it out in a fancy auditorium in one of Harvard's engineering buildings. Professors, chefs, and top brass from Williams-Sonoma packed the room. The students rock.
My name is Sujay Tile, and on behalf of...
And I'm going to introduce the last feature of the hyperboloid cooling tile we have that we think
all
is very...
All 16 play a part in explaining the smoker's intricacies using Parker's mantra, design, build, test. As he chews, Williams-Sonoma's Pat Connolly rates the Harvard smoker against other smokers out there.
Well, if you look at the color, the final color... You know, you get a much more consistent color here. If you look at the moisture is fantastic here compared to the competition. And the flavor, both are good. This is better.
Connolly says the trademarked, patent-pending, app-wielding BBIQ smart smoker just might have the right stuff and make the leap from the classroom to a future Memorial Day celebration. In Cambridge, Massachusetts, I'm Susan Kaplan for Marketplace.
There's more of this story at marketplace.org, though I hope you have some time away from the computer screen today. Happy Memorial Day. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.